local news service doing newscast for June the 29th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. Immigrants held in crowded ICE detention centers extremely vulnerable to the spread of the infectious diseases, including COVID-19. Our Andrea Sears reports the risk can be especially high for lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender people.
The Free Them All campaign is a joint effort of immigrants' rights groups across the country. It's called for the release of everyone in immigration detention to reduce the risk of the deadly virus spreading among the detainees. Jan Zdanovich with the Queer Detainee Empowerment Project says discrimination and harassment faced by those who are LGBT magnifies those risks.
They go through sexual violence on a daily basis. Trans women are held in solitary confinement for weeks, sometimes months, sometimes years.
QDEP works to find pro bono lawyers for LGBT detainees and finds them sponsors to help expedite their release on parole or bond.
Advocates say releasing immigrants from detention centers also frees up tax dollars for the fight against the public health crisis that continues to grow in many parts of the country. The White House says President Trump did not hear someone shouting white power in a now-deleted retweet of a pro-Trump rally in Florida, that from the New York Post. They quote White House spokesman Jude Deere as saying he did not hear the one statement made on the video. What he did see was tremendous enthusiasm from many supporters. The president retweeted a video early Sunday showing a parade of Trump supporters in golf carts outfitted with Trump 2020 and Make America Great Again signs in the Villages, which is a retirement community in Central Florida located near Orlando. At the beginning of the roughly two-minute video, a protester calls out, "Raise your white voice." The German company Bayer has agreed to shell out $10 million to around 95,000 plaintiffs who allege that glyphosate, the key ingredient in its Roundup weed killer, gave them cancer.
Roundup originally was developed by Monsanto in the early 1970s. Bayer bought the company in 2018 and says the agreements contain no admission of liability or wrongdoing. Senior scientist at the Center for Biological Diversity, Nathan Donnelly, says the health concerns around glyphosate are alarming, yet the herbicide continues to be touted as safe by Bayer and the EPA.
We use around 300 million pounds of it each year in the United States, and that's just in the agricultural sector. That's not counting what people use in their homes. Many people have seen it when they walk into their local hardware store or big box store. It's generally right there up front.
According to the State Department of Health and Human Services, North Carolina ranks 13th nationwide for use of pesticides and herbicides, such as Roundup, in agriculture. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
This is PNS. So what will learning look like in the fall? That's still a question without a definitive answer in Ohio as districts continually adjust to the challenges created by the COVID-19 pandemic.
As a high school teacher in a rural Northwest Ohio community, Holly Kimpen says funding is a major concern. She explains her district has already been forced to reduce pay for some advisors and support personnel.
There's a lot of talk of what could happen, and most of it is cuts to things that directly affect the kids, and it's heartbreaking for our students who really need those services.
The Federal Heroes Act, which was approved by the House, provides up to $60 billion in aid to local school districts. Green & Local Schools teacher Heather Stambaugh says it could help schools retain staff and pay for laptops to support distance learning.
If there is a second wave or keeping all students in the buildings not feasible, we're not sending children home with technology that they can rely on.
As a result of revenue losses during the pandemic, Ohio cut roughly $300 million from K-12 and higher education. While it was offset by $384 million in CARES Act funding, additional education cuts are expected in the 2020-2021 state budget. Mary Sherman reporting.
And while COVID-19 cases spike in other parts of the U.S., North Dakota's total remains relatively low, but the state's older population is being urged to stay vigilant. Here's Mike Mullen.
Prior to the spikes in places such as Florida and Arizona, many states were gradually reopening their economies. There's no infection spike in North Dakota, but health officials are still asking everyone, including people over 50, to take steps to shield themselves from the coronavirus. Josh Askvig with AARP North Dakota says an upcoming event aims to provide more clarity for anyone who's curious about the latest guidelines and prevention tools.
How does contact tracing work? If somebody contracts COVID-19, who gets tested and who doesn't. And if they test positive, how far does that testing go beyond?
The call for vigilance also comes as certain restrictions are being eased at long-term care facilities in North Dakota.
And finally, our Eric Tanoff tells us fewer young people are being admitted to jails because of COVID-19. The drop has been bigger for youth of color.
Annie E. Casey Foundation data from about a third of juvenile detention facilities finds total admissions were down by more than half between March and May. White youth detention fell 26%. Black and Latino youth detention fell 30 and 29%, respectively. Annie Lee, who heads Team Child in Seattle, says people are reevaluating the criminal justice system right now, and this could be an opportunity to reform it.
Let's maintain that level of confidence that community can hold kids safely, that they can be safe, that they don't have to be incarcerated, and restructure how we think about that going forward.
I'm Mike Clifford, and thanks for starting your week with Public News Service. We are member and we're listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.